Okay, tonight is Monday night, March 16th, or 26th day of the month of Adar, taking a guess. This is the Gemara Shir. We're up to Daf Mayit Katan, Daf Hey Amid Beis. Okay, we are in the middle of the sugya of establishing the requirement to put a tziyun by a grave. And started on the bottom, towards the bottom of Hey Amud Aleph, and now continues on the top of Hey Amud Beis, Tana Rabbanan. But before we go there, I just want you to take a look at Rashi's explanation for the entire mitzvah to put up a tziyun. If you look on the Hey Amud Aleph, B'dibur HaMaschil Mitzayin es Hakvaros, Rashi in the middle, B'dibur HaMaschil Hey Amud Aleph, smack in the middle of the page. Says Rashi, she'osin simanim al hakvarot, you put a little sign, a little indication by the grave, besid, with lime, kida'ama b'meruba, shel kvarot besid. You're supposed to put the marker for a grave should be made with lime. Now Rashi says, what the reason is? What is the reason you should place this tziyun by the grave? Kidei shelo yechu ochlei truma l'sham. Kidei shelo yechu ochlei truma l'sham. If there is a grave, and that grave is mitame ba'ohel, it will be mitame the truma. Will be mitame the truma. And what happens when you have truma tamea? What are you supposed to do with it? You have to burn it. So in order to make sure that you do not have truma, which will now have to be burnt, what you have to do is you put up a tziyun. So claims Rashi. So claims Rashi. Now, if that's the case, what would you say today about the requirement to put up a tziyun? Today.
Why did Rashi say that a kohen would become tamei?
Ah, that's the question which the Ridvar asks. Okay. That's what I'm leading up to. Excellent. Excellent. So Rashi emphasizes that the consideration is ochle truma and ochle truma. So the Ritvah asks, why do you have to have ochle that? So then you would come to the conclusion that bisman azeh, there'd be no obligation whatsoever to put up a tziyun, because we don't eat truma today. There's no tumah tahara today. So as a result, you would not have to do so. However, therefore the Ritvah says, no, absolutely not. This is a simple indication that a kohen should not step over the grave, so that he should not become tameh. And he cites the pasuk, "Vehizartem es bnei Yisrael mitum osam." Vehizartem es bnei Yisrael mitum osam. What does that mean? Vehizartem. It's a very strange word. It means keep Bnei Yisrael away from their tumah. That's what it means. Distance them from their tumah. A zar is like a stranger. Keep them away from their tumah. Now the Gemara Nida actually quotes this particular pasuk for a totally different halacha. The Gemara quotes this pasuk as being the source that that it's referring to Bnos Yisrael Shahayu Mafrishin Samuch Levestan. That it's referring not at all to a tziyun for a grave, but it's referring to the regular menstrual cycle for a woman. So when she has her normal veses, a time period before the veses, whatever that time period is, I want to go into that now, they would refrain from having relations. And that's based, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, "Vihizartem es bnei Yisrael." Keep them away from ever violating the Isur of Tumas Nida. That's what the Gemara says. So, on account of that fact, Even though the Gemara, so the Ritva says, Lamrot, despite the fact that the Gemara applies this particular pasuk to Tumas Nida, nonetheless, it also can be applied to a Tziyun, in which case, you don't have to rely, as our Gemara said, on the pasuk in Yecheskel. This is a pasuk in the Chumash, Parsha Achrei Mos. So it makes it a much more, a powerful source, because it relates almost, to a Doraisa, not simply to a pasuk in Yecheskel, which is important, but it doesn't have the status of a Doraisa. And the simple thing is to keep Bnei Yisrael from their tumah. And the reason why it's not as compelling is because the pasuk is not necessarily directed at Kohanim. It says, Vizakta as Bnei Yisrael mitumo sam. You and me, we're not Kohanim, so we don't have to worry about that. A Kohen has to worry about, making sure not to go into a cemetery and not to be mitame lemeis. And in fact, I photostated a tshuva of the Binyan Sion, who was asked a very interesting question, and he uses our Gemara as one of three reasons to prohibit whatever is being asked of him. What was being asked of him? Nish'alti, look at the top of the page. Isha Yisraelis, Hepila Nefel. A woman unfortunately lost a child, and the child was a Nefel. Shikvar Nigmara Be'evarav. He was fully formed, but he didn't live, the 30 days. V'rotza rofe Yisrael, listen to this grace, l'hashoso ul'hasimo b'tzluchis u'b'yayin saraf, l'man yamod ramim rabim, l'hislamid bo chochmas hateva k'mina karofim imutu lasos kein. He wanted to pickle the baby.
Formaldehyde.
Yeah. Yayin saraf. To make sure that the baby is preserved so that he can do scientific studies on this particular child. Are you permitted to do so or not? Tshuva, and he gives an answer. Yes, b'din zeh yesh gimel chakiras. There are three halachas that will revive around this. One, barishon, mitzat chiyav kvuras nefel. Is there an obligation to bury a child that has not reached the age of a ben kayama? Ubazeh yesh plukta ben apayiskim. There is a big machloikis amongst the paisim. Dagoes maimin es hilchus mila kasav. The ain mitzvah likbor nifalim. There is no mitzvah to bury a nefel. Vikavosei nifsak ba'orachayim ubiyoradeya. The ain korvim nifalim biyom tov. V'hainu mishum deleka mitzvah kvura, v'lo mishum lo talin. The Torah says lo talin nivlaso, that as long as you delay burial, you violate this law of lo talin. So he ruled, the Hagos Maimonides did, that on Yom Tov, let's say, there's a halacha on the first day, you're allowed to ask a guy to bury a child, for kvura. You're allowed to ask a guy to bury a Jew on the first day of Yontif. You're allowed to ask, a Jew is allowed to bury on the second day of Yontif. So of course, my minister did not allow it by an Eifel. Why? Because he held there's no chi of kvura. V'amagin omnam amagin avram simin tafkuv chavav cholak al psak hagoas maimines ubeis Yosef v'hochiach diyesh chi of kvura binefalim ayin sham. That there certainly is a chiyav of kvura, but it may not have been doichi yom tov. That might be a different issue. Whether it overrides the yom tov with a nefel, that's a different issue. But there is a chiyav of kvura. Well, if ye isur lehashos hanefel v'beiso mitam chiyav kvura umitam lo talin. Fine. So that was issue number one. B'sheinit, next paragraph. Yesh loimar. Afilu ein chiyav kvura b'nefalim mikol makom asur lahashoso mishim takala shemo yehone bo kevon shemeis asur bahana. This is a very famous halacha, which in effect argues against scientific investigation of a cadaver based on the fact that typically there is normally it's asur bahana from a mace. So v'rayu lozeh mimashikosav atoisus yanta b'shabbes amada amrinon sham hamotzi kizayis min hameis chayiv. After einu chayiv b'hotzah rak al hamatznin kamohu mikol makam chayiv b'kizayis min hameis kiven the meis osu b'hanah matznisin osu g'day l'kovro. The halacha is that you're only chayiv on Shabbos for carrying if it's considered something that is chashuv by you. So the question is, if you have kizayis min hameis, would you be prohibited to carry it on Shabbos? And the answer is, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to. Well, what in the world would you be keeping a kizayis min hameis for in order to what? To create an Isur Hotzah? Answer is, lekovro, to bury it. Why would you want to bury? Because in us, Isur, to what? To be nana from hameis. So we, in the more modern Orthodox world, recognize, yes, there's an Isur Hanal hameis, but at times, the benefit of scientific discovery, you know, and also to determine how a person dies, if there is a family member, we allow Nivul Hameis in that regard to derive benefit from the deceased under certain autopsies under certain conditions. Exactly. If you hold, there's no Hanam and Hameis, you're not allowed to, make an autopsy. So a second issue that he was concerned with is this particular issue. So the guy should not save it because he's going to derive benefit from it. Fine, very nice. Then go to the next paragraph, which is related to us. Amnam mitam shlishi nira la'anias daiti sheyesh isur gomor bedavar. The masnitin shkalim amayit katan perak aleph al gemara. Tinan umitzainin es hakvaros, and you're supposed to put a tziyun, a marker by a grave. Visham yalef Rab Shimon ben Pazi kein mikra di Yecheskel urei etzem adam ubnei etzlo tziyon. When you see the bone of a person, put a tziyun next to it. Va'ad asi Yecheskel, until Yecheskel arrived, as the Gemara said. Gamra Gemirila. It was part of Torah Shabbal Peh. Part of Torah Shabbal Peh. The Rabbi Avohu Mifarish Hatam Mi Tomei Tomei Yikra. And Rabbi Avohu, we saw last week five or six different psukim to create the Isur for them, or the mitzvah to put it in. And one of them is Tomei Tomei Yikra. The Abaye Mifarish Milifne Evil Ositin Mikshal. The Rav Papa Yalef mi solu solu panu derech. The Od Drashot Acherot Yesham Ayin Sham. There are others as well. Just take a peek. The Sham Mayit Katan Hayamid Beis Amrinan the Mitzainin Al Kol Dover Hamitami Baoel Vafil Al Kizayis Min Ameis Kishenu Mitzumtzum. So why do you have to put a tzion by Kizayis Min Ameis? For what reason? So a Kayin should not what? Step over it. So our Gemara here is talking about not Tumas Truma, but rather what? Tumas Kohanim. So therefore, the Ritva also established this requirement that the entire sugya is against Rashi. Rashi says that the reason why we make it Tziyun is only to protect Truma, Sheret Shelo Yitmu. However, the Ritva says you don't need it, because first of all, you'd make a mistake and claim that today there would be no obligation to do so because we're not Oichlei Truma. And he establishes the more common obligation to make sure that a Kohen is not Mitame Lameis. And here this Tshuva certainly supports that particular opinion. So now let's take a look at the Gemara, which identifies other circumstances where it's obligatory to put a Tziyun and where it's not obligatory to put a Tziyun. And I thank Carl for alerting me to a black and white Mishnah. And where was it? Ahalos? Against what I said last week. That's why you go to Mishnah Yomas. That's what. Right? What?
Every morning, 15 minutes.
That's it. That's 6 o'clock in the morning. That's it. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbana, the Brisa says, Ein mitzainin lo ala kizayis min hameis. You do not have to put a tziyun on kizayis min hameis, even though the Mishnah says that Kezayis min ameis is metame. The Gemara is going to ask that question a little later. Velo al etzem kisa ora. And you do not have to put a tzion on a bone which is the size of his seora. Velo al davar she'eino mitame ba'ohel. On anything that is not mitame ba'ohel. And that's perfectly logical. If it's not mitame ba'ohel, what will it be mitame? What will it be mitame?
Maga
umasa. Right. So if you take a look at Tosfos, Tosfos she'eino mitame ba'ohel, the last line, Tosfos says, ulekach lo hechmiru chachamim litzayin mishum heset. Mishum heset. What is tumas heset? Tumas heset is that you cause something to move. Indirect moving. Indirect moving. Now, Tosfos leaves you with the impression that tumas heset is mitame by tumas meis. Namely, here is a case. I don't have concern about an ohel. Why? Because the bones or the flesh are right above ground. So we assume that people walk, when they walk, they see, they walk, they watch where they're going. Our parents have taught us, walk, church, watch where you walk, otherwise you'll step into duty because of a dog. Be very careful, watch where you walk, keep your eyes down. Well, if you keep your eyes down, you're going to see there's a bone or the flesh of a human being. So there is nothing to worry about that a Kohen would step over that because he can see it. And for Maga Umasa, what do you have to do? You have to bend down and touch it. Well, he won't come bend down. Well, why would he, if he's a Kohen, why is he going to bend down and touch it? He knows that he's going to become Tameh. And Masa, he has to pick it up. Why would he pick it up if he knows he's going to become Tameh?
He keeps
a stick. So Tosfos says, we were not gozer mishum tumas heset. Tumas heset doesn't even apply to tumas meis. It applies only to tumas zav. And that's the halacha by a zav. That anything where a zav is sits on, mishkav hazav, if I cause the Mishkav Hazav to move, then I become Tameh. I become Tameh. So the Ritva says that I'll tell you what Tosfos had in mind. He didn't really mean Mishum Heset literally. Why? Because Heset, indirect contact, causing something to move, is not Mitameh by Tumas Meis. But he said, sometimes with your foot, what will you do? You'll want to give it a kick. And once you give it a kick, before you give it a kick, it'll let sit on the top of your foot till you what? Till you toss it. So once you it sits on the top of your foot, what will you become Tameh? Because of Tumas Maga. And Tumas Maga, touch, is a factor by Tumas Meis. So that, Chachamim were not insistent that we make what? A tziyun for. We don't have to make a tziyun for something for which we don't consider a possibility that there will be leading to what? To come in contact with the Tomei. And so Tosfos writes it's Tumas Hesed, it doesn't read, but it's really Tumas Maga Umasa. Aval, says the Braisa, Mitzainin al hashedra v'al hagulgoles. You have to put a tziyun on a shedra. Shedra is a spine that has the shape of a human being, the spine of a human being, and the head, gulgoles, the skull of a human being. You must put a tziyun. And al rov binyin v'al rov minyin. If you have the majority of that which constitutes a human being, that is the two thighs and one other bone, two thigh bones and one other bone, creates the majority of a human being. Our legs and thighs are more than 51% of what? Of the height of a human being. So that already creates tsurat adam, and hence it's metame ba'ol, you would have to make a tziyun over it, if it's buried in the ground. And the same thing is al rov minyan. If you have just a heap of bones, not in the shape of a human being, but you have 125 bones, because Chazal believed that there are 248 bones. You're a doctor. Berech. Berech. That's Chazal say there are 248 bones. So if you have 125 bones collected in one area, you must make a tziyun over it, due to the fact that, again, it will be mitame be'ohel as well. Be'ohel as well. Now, if you take sheet, just stop there for a second. If you take sheet number 3 for a second, the Gemara in Nazir raises the following question concerning the skull and the spine. Ibayilahu. Shedra, because why is it in Maseches Nazir? Because Tumas Mace is an equal factor to a Nazir. A Nazir is not permitted to be Metame L'Mace, just as a Kohen is not permitted to be Metame L'Mace. So many of the halachos of Tumas Mace are actually formulated in Maseches Nazir. Ibayilahu. Shedra v'golgoles tenan. When the Mishnah says Hashedra v'hagulgoles, does it mean a Shedra and a Gulgoles? Then in order for it to be Metame Ba'ol, you need both? O Dilma, O Shedra, O Gulgoles Tanan. Or does the Mishnah have in mind to correlate one or the other? It's either the skull or the spine. Or the spine. This question is left unresolved in the Gemara. The Gemara goes back and forth, and the Gemara leaves it unresolved. Unresolved as to whether or not you need both or not. You need both or not. So the Haggos, let me just one second.
You can't tell from the Lashon of the Gemara because of the second pairing, which clearly is either or.
What do you mean?
In other words, it says, Shedra ve'al hagulgoles, and then it says al rov binyan ve'al rov minyan.
Right.
So clearly it doesn't mean al rov binyan
both
combined with rov.
That is correct.
It's the same lashon as before.
That's correct. It could have resolved it. Yeah, I don't know why the Gemara didn't. See, what the Gemara does, it brings lots of things where you have al and al. That's what the Gemara does the rest of the Amud. And say, well, does it mean both? So you find kahena for kahena. You have sometimes it means both, and sometimes where it means what? One. So that's the dilemma in the Gemara. So the... Yeah. So the Rambam Paskins... The Rambam paskins that kol echad mitame bifnei atzmo, that each one is mitame ba'ohel bifnei atzmo. Even though the Gemara leaves it unresolved, the Rambam paskins lechumra, and that each one is mitame ba'ohel independently. Some want to bring a raya from an interesting Gemara in Maseches Chulin. If you go to page number 4 for a second. Then we'll see the Rambam's Pesach. The Gemara in Chulin, this is Daf Kuf Chof Gimel Amar Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, I bracketed the line. Ligayon, a legion, the Roman army, the Roman legion. Ha'over mimakom lamakom, that's traveling from place to place. V'nichnas labayis, and happened to come into the house, and they would often come into the house. Why would they come into the house? Because they assessed each homeowner an obligation to what? To provide food and drink on the certain days for the Roman army. That's documented all over the Gemara. In fact, you're allowed to give them demai. for according to one opinion, you're allowed to feed them demayis. You have the suffix whether they have to be master or not. Okay, to Roman legion, you can give to them demay. Habayis tamei says the Gemara. Why? She'ein lecha kol yagon v'liyagayon. She'ein lo kama karpalin. There is not one legion that does not carry with them several carpalins. What it says, Rashi or carpalins? They carry skulls. Why do they carry skulls? Because they perform kishuf for them. It's Rashi says, she's v'zeh l'machshefos b'milchama. What's machashefa? A kishuf macha. They do... that's how my Rebbe translated. Nechashefa lo sechai, akishef macha. That's a real good translation. Nechashefa, akishef macha. Should not allow akishef macha to remain alive. It means a magician. You know, he does all kinds of magical tricks with the dead. So the Gemara said it was they were not carrying a spine with them. It was a skull alone. So you see that a skull is metame the house. That's Thomas Oel, nothing else.
But Rashi is all.
What?
Rashi is all those odos.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
He doesn't call it just a skull.
I know. But
the reason is because Rabbi Shmuel, and they remember, if we remember the Asur HaRugim Malchus, when you read about Rabbi Shmuel, that they removed the skin from his skull. That's the Raya. It must be the Raya.
Could be.
Yeah. Remember the daughter of the king, like I said, he was Kami Yofi, Rabbi Shmuel was.
Right.
And she said he wouldn't spare his life, but they
took off the skin.
Sarach Savaro, yes. Yeah.
No, they took the skin off.
Yeah. So now take a look at, so the Rambam, go back to page number 2 now for a second. The Rambam says, Atzmos, this is Perek Beis, Hefilchos Tumas Meis, Halacha Ches. Atzmos Hameis, Atzmos Hameis, She'ein Aleim Basar, that have no flesh on him, Im Nikeres Bohen Tzuras Atzmos, if you can tell that this is the bone of a human being, Harei Olam Mitamin B'mago U'B'masa U'B'Ohel K'meis Sholeim. They are mitame with maga, masa, and oil, as if they would be a full deceased person. She'ani korei bohem etzem adam. Because the pasuk that we just read, the Shabbos, that if you are mitame, be'etzem adam, that is, this is etzem adam. And etzem is already identified as what? As a full adam. That's how the Rambam interprets the pasuk. Ve'elu hein ho'atzomo she'hein mitamin kemeis. Hashedra, the Hagulgoles, the Rov Binyano, the Rov Binyano, Hashedra Ketzad, Shedra Shehi Shlema, Harehi Kamei Sholem, the Im Chaseira Afilu Chulia Achas, Miyut Ches Chulios, Harehi Kishara Tzamos. If it's missing one vertebrae, then it's not considered like a meishalim. But the point is, he didn't say you need together with the gulgolas. He says if it's all intact, it's like a meishalim in and of itself. And then the next thing, hagulgolas ketzad, gulgolas shehi shlema, harei hi kemeis. V'im chasera kisela, if it's missing anything, even like a sela, Harehi kisharu atzamos, like any other bone, and not necessarily mitame ba'ohel. Not mitame ba'ohel. So the Rambam certainly paskins that it's either or, you don't need both, in order to be mitame ba'ohel. And hence, you would require a tziyun for a shedra or a gulgoles, if they are buried below ground. If they are buried below ground. Not all Rishonim agree with the Rambam. Not all Rishonim, we go to Rambam. So, Carl, when you'll do Ahalos again, in Perek Beis, Mishnah Vav of Ahalos, the Rash disagrees with the Rambam and says, no, it's an Abaye Deloyev Shita, and we go Lekula. Why you go Lekula? I don't quite understand. And the Minchas Chinuch claims in Mitzvah Reis Samach Gimel that such is the opinion of the Chinuch as well, that in order to be Mitamei Lameis, you need Shedra Vigul Goles. Shedra Vigul Goles in order to be Mitamei Lameis and to require a Tziyun. You need both of them. And the reason why, one of the reasons why is because we think it's a chumrah when you take only one or the other, and the kohen who steps over it will become tameh. But it also winds up to be that what? That you are going to be burning more truma and kachim as a result, especially more truma. Because if you believe that you require two of them together, and now some truma passes over it, and there's only one of them, the truma will remain tahora. So there are conflicting values, conflicting chumras under this circumstance. One chumra is to say, you're not, that you should go to chumra and say, only one of them is mitami lemeis, because that's a chumra, and you're supposed to go to chumra by a din d'oraisa. But you're also supposed to go to chumra to what? To make sure that you don't burn truma. So how do you go the chumrah to make sure that you don't burn truma? By demanding that in order for it to become tameh, you need both together. So that's one of the explanations. So it's a conflicting, even though they're both d'oraisa, you have a right to choose which one you want, and as a result, the halacha would be that it's that's how he paskins, the chinuch and the rash in Ahalos. Continues the Braisa. Ve'ein mitzainin al havada'us. You have no obligation whatsoever to put a tziyun where there is definitively a person buried. Why? Because the kohen is... In other words, if you have a cemetery where thousands of people are buried, a kohen had to chalein seichel not to enter the cemetery. So you don't need a tziyun by each grave. You don't. So the only place where you require a tziyun is in a place which is not ordinarily used for what? For burial. And there might be a grave here. That's where you require a tziyun. Ve'elu ve'avo mitzainin ala sfeikos. But you are obligated to what? To put a tziyun by any place potentially where there might have been a grave. Ve'elu heina sveikos, and here are the sveikos, halachic sveikos. One is sichachos, upiraos, ubeis haperes. The Gemara will explain what they are in just a second. Sichachos, piraos, ubeis haperes. Ve'ein mamidun siyun b'makom tuma shelo lahafsidis ataharos. A mamidun siyun b'makom meaning al hatoma. Where exactly do you place this marker? Where do you place the marker? So the Brisa says you don't put it in the middle of where the person is buried, because that's going to be a little too late. Because he'll stay away up until the marker, and what happens? He's already being mahil on top of it, and the truma or the kayin becomes tameh. So you have to put it at a certain distance. Ve'ein marchikin tziyun mimakom tuma. And you're not supposed to what? Put it 6 miles away either. Because then, shalo what? For a different reason, shalo lahafsid is Eretz Yisrael. Because by having it very far away, it means that you're being mitameh, exact more land, more shetach of Eretz Yisrael. And we don't want to be metame Eretz Yisrael. We want to try to keep it as tahor as possible. As tahor as possible. Yeah. So that's the end of the Braisa. So now the Gemara goes on the attack and tries to either explain or attack some of the Braisa. Asks the first halacha in the Braisa was, Ein mitzaynin al kezayis min ameis. You're not supposed to, you don't have to put a tziyun on a kezayis min ameis. So the Gemara asks, the Ein mar, the kezayis min ameis Ein mitame ba'ol. Vo'atnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Elu shim mitamin ba'ol, kezayis min ameis. It's a Mishnah. A kezayis min ameis is mitame ba'ol. So why should you not require a tziyun? Answers the Gemara, Amarav Papa, Hacha b'kizayis mitzumtzum askinan, the sof sof michser choser. It's talking about that what was here initially, exactly a kizayis of a mace. Now as time goes on, obviously the flesh, you know, deteriorates. And there's no longer kizayis min ha-mace. So as a result, it's not really going to be kizayis min ha-meis. Hence, mutav yisrafu alav truma. Mutav yisrafu alav truma v'kachim lefi sha'a v'al yisrafu alav le'olam. What's going to happen here is as follows: if you put a tziyun on this, put a tziyun on it. And somebody steps on it, what will be the halacha when he comes to ask his local rabbi, Rabbi, I stepped on this particular area where there happened to have been a tziyun, and I had truma in my pocket. What's the rabbi going to tell him? Burn it. Good. Now, 6 months after the kezayis min ha-meis was there, it's no longer metame ba'oel. So what's going to happen? The tziyun that is placed there is going to cause truma to be burnt le'olam va'ed. When had I not put a tziyun on it, what would happen? The Kohen might not be aware of it. So now he comes over this area and somebody tells him, hey buddy, what happened? You just stepped over a grave. So what's going to happen? He's going to have to burn his truma. But that will be for a limited amount of time rather than for le'olam va'ed. So I would rather allow truma to be burnt now for a small amount of time rather than put up a tziyun and run the risk that it might have to be burnt li'olam va'ed for posterity. For posterity. It's an unusual svara, very unusual svara, that you should allow tuma to be burnt mita oraisa because of the possibility that later on somebody might step on it and he's going to ask the kasha, what should I do? And he'll tell him to burn it. So it's a, you know, it's like a bari v'shema, you know, and only bari adif, you know. This is definite. If you, right now, it's going to be mitame lemeis. So put up the tziyun. Very, very, very difficult. Very difficult.
That's really like Bari and Bari.
Eventually, that is correct. Later on, it's Bari also. That is true. So Rashi illustrates the case where you don't even have to worry about wanting to walking to your local rabbi. It's that he was walking at night. And he didn't see where he stepped over. The next day he realizes, oh, what happened? I stepped over, and then he stepped over a place where there was a tziyun, and he'll burn it. So it'll lead to truma being burnt for no reason. The Eluhin Asfekos. Here are the cases which are considered Sfekos, for which there is no obligation to put up a tziyun. No, excuse me. No, that's where you mitzainin ala speklos. A mitzainin ala vado. Here are the cases where you do put up a tziyun. Schachos uparaos uparaos. What is schachos? Ilan hamesach al haaretz. You have a tree near a cemetery. Not far from a cemetery. And Rishonim case claimed that the case was the following, where somebody is being carried to burial on a Friday, and it comes Shabbat, the Shkiyas Acham is coming, and what are you going to do? I can't reach the cemetery. Can't reach the cemetery. So you cannot be Doicha Shabbos, so you have to bury outside of the cemetery. So they would look for a place near the cemetery that had a tree over it that created a figment of humanitation that, right, there's a little privacy to this area. So typically they would bury under this mesach, the branch of a tree. That's where they would typically possibly bury. Why would they bury? As I said, they got stuck before Shabbos, and there is no place, there's no time to make any decisions, right? It's like people calling me 5:30 when Shabbos is at 6:00. I'm stuck, I'm just getting into the Lincoln Tunnel. What do I had two of those calls last week. What, apparently there was a lot of traffic last week for some strange reason. What should I do? So that's where Rabbeinu Tam. Thank you, Rabbeinu Tam, for being much more lenient than everybody else. But I told him he has to observe Rabbeinu Tam's sheet at the end also. I told him that. It can't be inconsistent. So he did. He waited till after Rabbeinu Tam's sheet to be make Shabbos over. So that was one case. So they created this measure of privacy, and because of the branch, it has this OL effect. The oil effect itself. And that's why there is often a person buried there, but there's no guarantee, and that's considered mitzainin ala sveikos. Same thing, that is sechachos. Now Rashi happens to say, take a look at Rashi on the Ilan HaMesach al Aretz. Vituma tachas nof echad. They buried, the tree might have 60 branches, or 5 branches. And they buried the person under what? Under one branch. Ve'ene yodea tachas eze nof. You don't know which branch. Oset tziyun. How many tziyunim? How many? So the Ritva says in Rashi, under every single branch. You put a tziyun by each branch. Because putting one tziyun by the tree does not do anything. Because every single branch is where they may have placed the deceased. And since since the concern is that there might be a mace under one branch, you have to put a tziyun under every single branch. Alternatively, he says, no. Once there is one tziyun by any branch, the kayin already knows, don't walk under any branches. That's what he says alternatively. He's not quite sure what Rashi had in mind. Does Rashi have in mind it to demand that all of them, or beyond that? Now there are some Rishayim who claim, it's hard to picture this, that the person was not buried under the branch, but he's buried under the tree. Now, that's possible. You dig a grave under the tree. Now, what happens? So therefore, now when you, nobody walks under the tree, this is nothing to worry about. However, as you well know, by a cemetery, if you have a grave and there is a branch hovering over the grave, over the what? Coming out, that's Tumas Oel as well. So as a result, even if the person is buried under the tree itself, the branches are Ma'ahil as well, and therefore you'd have to put the Tziyun there as well. Some Rishonim learn that the person was not buried under the branch. But anyhow, that's not the Pashtus. Case number two is Piraot. Piraot, avanim, piruot, hayotzit min hageder. It's the same type of case. They're getting stuck along the way, coming Erev Shabbos, and you're not even near the cemetery. But there is a wall. And the wall has stones bloating, sticking out of it. So it looks like a little private place. So since this looks like a private place, you would bury the person right there. Bury the person there. You know, often what would happen, according to some, it's not that they would bury the person permanently there. That if they got stuck before Shabbos, they would bury the person temporarily. And then, after Shabbos, they would move the... As was the custom in many communities in Europe, where they would bury in a local cemetery... Right. If the guy if they wanted to bury a person in Kever Avos, right? But they couldn't arrange the trip yet. You know, that time you weren't in a fly around any place. So you buried him temporarily, and then when you had an opportunity to transport to Kever Avos, then you... And there's a whole discussion where they have to sit, you know, is there Avelus twice? Because after the Avelus begins after the Kfura. Well, now you have... it's called Pinuy Atzamos. So the halach is you have to sit one day Shiva the next time as well. Once you take a grave out, when you take a coffin or the bones out and you bury somewhere else, you require one day shiva. But we say mikzus ayom kukuloi for that day in itself. Yeah. So that's with that. And beis hapras. What is a beis hapras? Kiddushnan. Hachoresh es hakever. Hare hu osa beisapras, the kamo hu beisapras, milo ma'ane meyo ama. What happens here is as follows. Somebody was plowing, and he plowed over a grave. So if you plow over a grave, you now, with your little utensil, you took the bones and scattered them all over the cemetery. So the entire cemetery, the entire field, has a suffix as to whether or not there is a bone there or not. So the halach is, midrabanan, the size of a field called the beis hapras, about 100 amma, is now considered suffix tame midrabanan. So any time a kohen steps in that beis hapras, he would have to be undergo tahara, and as a result, a tziyun has to be placed in this beis hapras. In this beis hapras, yeah. Asks the Gemara, "Ubeis hapras mi mitami ba'ohel?" The ha'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Minapeach adam beis hapras v'holech. See, when this guy goes ahead and he plowed over a grave, he's not going all over the field and collecting all the bones and reburying them. He's not. So where are the bones? They're scattered on the top, on the surface of the earth. So if it's scattered on the surface, are they going to be mitami ba'ol? Absolutely not. Yes, they will, if you step over it. But you can see them. So if you can see them, why is it necessary to have a tziyut? And how do you go through that? Minapeach. You're supposed to blow. You blow them away, and once you blow them away, you can walk that next distance and assume that what? That there's nothing there any longer. So why would you have to put a tziyun? The only reason why you put a tziyun is to what? To avoid tumas oel. This is not going to lead to Tumas Oel in the first place because you can be seen. And the way to negotiate it is to be, to spread, exactly, to spread them with the wind. That's what Minapeach means. What does she say? So that's his question. The Omar v'Rav Yehuda bar Ami mishmei de'ula Omar beis hapras shenidash tahor. Even furthermore, Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav Ami, said, in the name of Ula, that a Beis HaPras that was what? Plowed over is completely tar. You don't have to worry about it. So why would you need a tziyun there in the first place? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Papa loy kasha. Kan besoda she'ovad bokever, kan besoda she'nechrash bokever. Take a look at Rashi. Besoda she'ovad bokever, katani, demitzainin, demitaimin ba'ohel. Aval besoda she'nechrash bokever, ain't sorach litzayin, velo mitami ba'ohel, de neima macharesha salke letuma. So what does Rashi say is the difference? A field where you don't know where the grave was. She'ovad bo kever. We know that there was a kever here once. But we have no idea as to what the location of that particular kever was. So now you have to put a tziyun there. Because since the kever is still intact, if you're going to allow a kohen to step over it, he will become tamei. However, the other case, which says that you do not require for a Beis HaPras, is of the opinion that when it's plowed over, there's nothing to worry about. Because what does the plow do to the bones? Crushes them completely, and they are no longer mitame ba'ohel. So that would require a tziyun, because even if you stepped on it, there is absolutely nothing to worry about.
Does that presuppose that because when it's plowed over, the bones are no longer etching kasora?
Yes, could very well. Yes, 100%. Because in order to be mitame boa, that is correct. That's correct. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.